and it's a fill-in type of thing. So if you can raise your hand, Brother Benjamin is going to pass these out real quick. It's simple, but I think it'll be helpful if you're doing a Bible study or maybe you have questions about the Holy Spirit. The title of the Bible study is Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. It's information. I was going to say basic, but it's really not. Sometimes you just, if you need one, just raise your hand. Sometimes we just need to do a Bible study and go from there. If you do need a pen or a pencil, Brother Zach, do you mind helping? It's a one page. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You need one? Can you give that to Haley? Are we good? We need some what? They need? Sorry, next time I'll make more. I apologize about that. So I was here all day, and then all of a sudden I get a call from Zeke, hey, you need to take mom to the hospital. And I'm like, great. So it's like 5, I don't know, when did I text you, Brother Jeremiah? Yeah, it's almost like 5:59. And I'm asking him, hey, do you mind stepping in? Because it sounded serious. And so my wife is the type that she's stubborn. So I'm heading over there, and I guess Zeke told her that he told me to come take her to the hospital. And so then she's calling me on the way there, and she's like, don't come over here. And I'm like, oh. And then I'm like, well, are you hurting? She's like, yeah, but give me time. So I don't know. I guess I'll find out more in the evening, but just pray for her. I was asking Brother Jeremiah if he could preach, and I appreciate it. He was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then so anyways, I'm on my way there. And then I came back. I'm like, oh, I needed to get all this done. So I apologize about that. And thank you for your understanding. Amen. We're going to talk about do a little Bible study on getting to know the Holy Spirit. If you can, please turn your Bibles to John chapter 16, and we're going to use the scriptures. And if you've been with our church or any amount of time, even if it's a little amount of time, I think you've realized by this point that uses a lot of scripture. I do that for this reason. Sometimes I think if we don't write it down, it won't make sense. Because if we go over our notes and we look at the verse, sometimes we don't apply it, right? So that's why I did that little handout. Maybe hopefully it sticks a little bit more and concerning what we're talking about. So John chapter 16, these letters are in red for what? They represent that Jesus spoke them, right? It says, howbeit when he, and who is he? The Spirit of truth. Is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of what? Himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he what? Okay, so, I'm sorry. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So, let me ask you this. When we say, well, the Holy Spirit led me to go to the casino this weekend. I know it sounds funny. It sounds funny, right? Right? But what does the Bible say? Amen. The Holy Spirit led me to the Beyonce concert. In case y'all don't know who that is, it's a H-Town person. Amen. Here's a better one because it's kind of, Christian background, kind of. The Lord led me to the country concert. Okay, so just so you know, amen, so we understand, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to the casino, okay? The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to a Beyonce or a country concert or a rap concert or a rock concert. Believe it or not even a Christian concert. I know. A lot of people are going to get upset, but if you listen to the music, it doesn't sound any different than the world. But I want you to understand, he shall not speak of what? All right, where does the Spirit of God live? Yeah, in your heart. So if you say, I'm going to this concert, you think the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to that concert? The Holy Spirit doesn't speak about himself, about his feelings. We do. We follow our hearts, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can only speak of those things that what? He hears. What's the word of God? God's words.
What are you feeding yourself? The Spirit of God lives in you throughout the week. That's what, right? It's either going to quench the Holy Spirit or it's going to help. And I want you to understand that he's only going to speak about Jesus. He shall speak and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify who? So who's he speaking about? Jesus. You think Beyonce is going to be glorifying Jesus? No, it's going to be glorifying your flesh. Amen. Some people are afraid to be honest, you know, but sometimes we don't need you to be that honest. Amen. But sometimes we need to understand, like I told you, I grew up around some of this stuff, rap music, and it's just bad. I don't want to just glorify the devil, but I don't listen to it because I like it. Some pastors won't tell you that. I'm telling you the truth. I don't listen to it because I like it, right? And you say, well, Pastor, what's so bad about that? Well, here's the thing. I'm a Christian. God doesn't like it. That's plain and simple. Like, I have to be a big boy, push my pride to the side. That's what that means. Stop glorifying my flesh, right? And start realizing, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm doing this because Jesus changed my life. I need to start living like a changed person, right? A changed person is not going to glorify himself. A changed person is going to glorify the one that's done the change in his life or in her life. And in that way, I want you to understand, I just want to glorify God. I don't want my children to know about these rappers or people that don't talk anything about good in society. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto who? You. The very interesting thing about this, you don't, and I know it's going to probably be taken out of context of what I'm saying, but you don't really need a pastor to know what God wants in your life. You really don't. You have the Holy Spirit. He speaks the what? The truth. Right? That's why it's important to study your Bible every day. Pray to God every day. Don't do what you want to do every day. That's different. That's when people use that excuse to justify their actions, right? Well, the Lord led me to the casino. What? The Lord led me to drink alcohol. So this is why we're going to study and get to know who is the Holy Spirit, right? Let's get to know him. If you're still with me, say amen. The Holy Spirit is probably one of the most misunderstood persons of the Trinity. And I say because he is a person. He is God. I want you to know that in the Bible, it shows us a view of the Holy Spirit, not in the way we think. We think, oh, I had this great experience. No, that's just your emotions. That's the experience. That's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, I was saved from drowning. You know, I was 13 years old when I almost drowned in Houston at a youth. It was a youth activity. I'm not going to be for, you know, getting on a boat and jet skis and stuff. Amen. If you do that, do it on your own time. Amen. But, man, I almost drowned. Praise the Lord, a big chunky man that was shirtless, amen, that's all I remember coming back to, amen, was the one that took me out of that water, helped me, resuscitated me, amen. And then when I came to, I was throwing up a lot of water, I was coughing, and all I see is this sweaty, yeah, anyways, sorry for that image, but that's all I saw coming out, a big bearded man going, and I was like, oh, amen. But thank the Lord he did save me, amen. Physically, that man saved me. Some of us treat that experience like that's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not the Holy Spirit. That was just a physical experience. Praise the Lord, didn't let me die. God had obviously something for me to do, right? But I'm not going to say that's the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to know who the Holy Spirit is and get an understanding that the Holy Spirit is more than just an experience. The Holy Spirit is Scripture. It's the truth, the Spirit of truth. It's the Word of God that lives in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's a person. He's God. Many of us should ask these questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? How does he speak to us? How do I know if I'm following his lead? Can I grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes. So what's the difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit? These are good questions to ask because you have to realize in the Old Testament, remember when the Holy Spirit came upon Samson? came upon David, these men of God. Now, you have to understand there's a difference between the Holy Spirit indwelling and the Holy Spirit filling someone. There's a big difference. So we're going to get to this place where I think a more important question is this. As a believer, as a Christian, do I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And here's the secret, man. I don't know if we get this. When we accept Jesus Christ, whether you realize it or not, we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because that's the agent, or that's the person that seals us until the day of what? Redemption, salvation. And I don't think we realize that. So we live our life consuming social media, consuming movies, consuming entertainment, consuming selfishness, what's important to me, hobbies, leisure. We focus on that, not realizing, hey, I have the Holy Spirit of God living in me. I have the Spirit of God living in me. You have the Spirit of God living in you if you're saved. So here's the first question I'd like to ask. Who is the Holy Spirit? John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? I want you to see before Comforter that word. What is that? Another. Was Jesus there to comfort the disciples? Yes. So, he's telling them, basically, I'm praying to my Father to give you another me. That's what he's saying. Not me, your pastor. I'm talking about Jesus. He's telling his disciples, I'm praying for God to give you another me. Someone similar to me. Another comforter. That he may abide with you, what? Forever. Next. Even the Spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot what? Can the world receive them if they do good deeds? If they have an experience of almost drowning, but yet they're saved? No. No. There's only one way to receive the Holy Spirit, and that's how? It's Christ. But who? Jesus. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in who? You. And shall be in who? You. He's talking to the disciples. The disciples are believers of Jesus. Just like you and I, we are believers in Jesus. He dwells in us. And I want us to see that who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus is calling him another comforter. Now, I don't have the first points and all that, but you can kind of do the dashes there. The word another just means like another, the same kind, right? Another of the same kind. So Jesus is leaving, and the Holy Spirit was what? Coming. Arriving. Not as a... Remember, the Holy Spirit's not Jesus. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. And God the Father is not Jesus, right? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the what? The Holy Ghost. This is why it's so important. We understand that Jesus' ministry would continue in his believers. The kingdom of God would continue inside of every believer. So the Holy Spirit is just not an influence. It is an influence, but it's not just an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person, okay? The Holy Spirit, go to Acts chapter 5. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is God. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I'm sorry, the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Next. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? He's saying, Ananias, why did you have to lie about your giving? Why did you lie about selling your property and then saying that you're going to give the entire, what do you call that? The entire amount, proceeds, right, to God? When you held part of it, you partially gave it. You didn't completely give it. Hey, you promised it to God. Let me ask you this. Didn't you have time? God didn't tell you to give everything. God didn't tell you to give, but you lied. You're trying to portray that you're giving all the proceeds of your property, because you said you're going to do that, to the ministry, and you had the time to do it, to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give 10%. I'm just going to give 15%. But why are you lying about what you're doing? Look what it says. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto who? But unto who? We got to be very careful. We can't just say, oh, God, I promise. Be careful. Be careful. Anything that has to do with God, God's man, God's ministry, God's church. Hey, you make a promise? We have missionaries here, faith promise. Your tithing or building fund. Hey, that's God's stuff. That's God's ministry. Be careful. And you say, well, Pastor, I just can't give. I'm going by faith. Okay, God understands that, right? You're not saying, hey, I'm going to sell my piano, and I'm going to give all the proceeds to the church. Well, okay, first of all, this is not what? God's church. It's not the pastor's church. I know we take ownership, right? As a church, we say, hey, this is my church, right? Because we want to serve. But technically speaking, whose church is it? It's God's. We have to understand that, right? So if I'm the type of person that would say, I'm going to sell my piano and all the proceeds go to the church building fund, but I only give a part of it, that's what happened here. When I owned this and it was mine and it was in my possession, I could have said, you know what? I'm not going to commit it completely, but I will donate an uncertain amount. That's okay. That's okay. He didn't do that, though. That's not what Ananias and his wife. What is it? Sapphira. Thank you. Amen. She's on fire. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I'm corny. I was thinking about a joke about, you know, teenagers being cool. You know, because sometimes they think that being a rebel or going against God is cool. But then I'm like, yeah, it's not. In my mind, I'm thinking, but hell's hot. Amen. So anyways, amen. I don't know. That's, yeah, amen. In my mind, I'm sorry. Pray for me. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. And Peter told Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? To lie. Now we're like, well, it's the Holy Ghost. Wait. You know who the Holy Ghost is? God. Whoa. The audacity, right? He says, thou hast not lied unto men. Man, you're not lying to yourself. You're not lying to the pastor. You're not lying to anyone. But unto God. Now, Pastor, that's back in those days. That can't happen. Well, be careful. Because we're trying to find out who is the Holy Spirit. If you make a decision, like my wife and I have made a decision with our kids to, when you know, she was pregnant with them, that, hey, we're going to raise them to serve you, to fear you, to love you. And we go astray from that and let something else become their God. We've lied to God. We've lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen? So you have to understand, if you make a commitment or a vow, a covenant, you better keep your word. Amen? You better keep your word. Because you can't lie to God. Yeah, it's not lying to myself. It's not lying to my wife. It sounds good, babe. No, I'm lying to God. I'm going to make sure we do that, right? So we need to be careful. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. He's a person. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has a personality. Go to Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what happened? What's the next words? The Holy Ghost what? Said. So, who were they serving? What does the Bible say? The Lord. And they fasted. Right? But who's the one speaking? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God, the Holy Spirit of God, is speaking. You say, Pastor, does the Holy Spirit have a personality? Yeah. Yeah, he speaks. Amen? The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks. That's a personality trait. What else does the Holy Spirit do? What's part of his personality? Well, he teaches. John chapter 14, verse 26. Is it verse 20? Yeah, verse 20. But the Comforter, which is the what? Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? If it's him leading you to the casino, or if it's your bad finances. Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. I should. Okay. If it's him telling you to buy those lottery tickets, or if it's your bad finances. Amen? You're down. Oh, am I hitting home? I'm sorry. Okay, I'll behave. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have what? Sent unto you. This is why I cringe when people say, the Holy Spirit led me. And I'm thinking, you probably can't even give me one verse about the Holy Spirit. But you're going off your heart and your emotion. The Holy Spirit led me. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. We're getting to understand, man, he can speak to us and he can what? Teach us. This is the Spirit of truth. We don't like that though. I'm going to tell you why I don't like it personally. Because he tells me everything I can't do. Everything I can't do that I like to do. How about that? Guess what? You're in the same boat. That's God. That's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit has a personality of teaching, of speaking, of guiding. John 16, 13. Are you still with me? Yeah, amen. Howbeit, when he, who's he? The Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? So what does he do? Not only he speaks to you, not only does he teach you, but he what? Guides you. Guides you when you don't understand. He guides you when you don't know the unknown. He guides you when it doesn't make sense. How in the world is this going to help me, God? How in the world? It's not fair, God. It's not about if it's fair. It's about, is this what God wants you to do? Guess what he's going to do? He's going to guide you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to teach you. He guides you into all truth, for he shall not speak of what? Himself. This is how you know. If it's something that you want to do, let me give you a secret, okay? It's a secret, but I mean, not really. If you have to question, should I do this or should I not? You already got your answer, okay? You have to question it, okay? Here's another one. If you don't want to do it, you got your answer. Okay? That's for free. You don't have to pay. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I don't want to get in depth on stuff like that because you have to learn that. I can't teach it to you. I can't, like the same way I can't get saved for you, I can't walk your journey of faith for you. That's why I preach the sermons I preach about pain, about suffering. Embrace it. About not understanding the trials and the tribulations. Embrace it. That's where you get the stuff in the valley. That's where you grow. But if I get into depth with that, and I probably will one day, but it's not going to be the same for you as it is for me. It's not. You have your own life that God has a purpose for. He's molded you into who you need to become, that believer. I can't live that life for you, but I can live the life of Ezekiel Rivera, and I know what God has in store for me. I know how he's guiding me. I know how he speaks to me. I know how he teaches me. And what I've realized is every time that I don't want to do something, I have to do it. And you know what I've learned it teaches me? Character. That character that I was missing, the character I didn't have, and I'm still working on it. I've also learned that if I have to question, should I? That's exactly what he wants me to do, Brother Chuck. It costs more, it's harder, but it's worth it. John 16, 13 teaches us that the Holy Spirit guides us. What's the next verse? Romans 15, 30, it teaches us that the Holy Spirit loves us. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the what? Of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Here's a man of God saying, listen, let's work together in the ministry. And I'm going to tell you, let's do it for Christ's sake and for the love that the Holy Spirit has for us. That's amazing. The Holy Spirit loves us. He loves you. even though we let him down, even though sometimes we ignore him, right? The Holy Spirit loves. I love his personality. What else? Well, part of his personality is he could be grieved. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the what? Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? I love this verse because it shows his personality. We don't understand that. Well, I say we, but I can't speak for you. I sometimes didn't understand that the Holy Spirit was actually a person. I didn't understand that. I thought it was like Casper the Friendly Ghost type of thing, you know? I thought it was like a spooky thing. I felt like, oh, it's a presence or it's a force. No, he's a person. And when I was reading this, it made it a little bit more real to me. It was during a time where I had lost someone close, and I know how I felt, you know, when you go through those grieving stages. And that being said, I was reading that passage. I'm like, God, why would you want me to read this passage? You know, my friend, I just lost my friend, you know, a real good friend. But he was teaching me, I experience what you experience because I'm a person. You treat me like I'm just, because I'm invisible, I'm not real. Well, here's the thing I realized. It doesn't matter what I felt, what I thought, what I could see. The Holy Spirit is a person. How many of you lost loved ones, right? How do you feel? Sad, right? You want to grieve? Guess what we can do to the Holy Spirit? Make him feel like he's lost someone. Man, that's tough. That really hit home with me during that time. What else? What type of personality does the Holy Spirit have? He can be resisted. Acts, I believe, chapter 7. Yeah. Ye stiff-necked, talking about a stubborn person, okay? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart. In other words, someone that acts and behaves carnal, like you haven't had a change in your life, like Jesus Christ come into your life and change you. It's saying, you're calloused, man. There's no change taking place in your life. Anyways, ye stubborn, uncircumcised, or stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always what? Resist the what? Holy Ghost. As your fathers did what? As your fathers did, so do ye. The Holy Spirit, again, is not a ghost. It's not a force like I used to think. Again, and I'm trying to tell you when in my teenage years, okay, not as an adult, but I think sometimes we treat him as such because we don't see him. You know, out of sight, out of mind, it becomes real. And so I'm going to tell you, you can't resist, right, a person in the sense of, well, they don't exist. No, I am Ezekiel Rivera, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. You can try to resist that truth, but I am who I am, right? I'm still in existence. The Holy Ghost is that way. We can say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to still do what I want to do. Okay. I just want you to know that he deserves your worship, my worship. He deserves our obedience. He really deserves our respect. And I don't know how your family members would feel if we treated them as we treat the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is something to think about because I want us to understand if we can fully grasp the Holy Spirit, our lives can truly change. I think sometimes we as Christians, we go to work, we stay busy, and it's good. But I always notice, like, sometimes we react like the world. Sometimes we don't react like Christians, right? And I'm going to tell you why. We are lacking the fruits of the Spirit. But before you can get the fruit, you just need to know who he is so you can understand, wow, I'm missing out on this. Our God is a relational God. Amen? Here's the second. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit has many ministries, okay? But we're going to just focus on a few here, okay? I say a few, but on some major ones. John 16:8. And when he is come, he will what? Reprove. Okay? What is reprove? Real quick. Correct. If there's something wrong going on, right? As a parent, when we see something wrong in our children, we try to correct it if we're there, right? Present. We catch it. Hey, stop doing that. That's wrong. Okay? And we try to correct that habit or that behavior. He will reprove the world of what? What's the behavior here? Sin. What is sin? It's just disobeying the word of God. It's transgressing the law of God. Okay? Of sin and of what? Of righteousness and of what? Judgment. The Holy Spirit, he convicts people of sin. Oh, wait. Am I in the wrong one? He convicts people of sin. This is what I mean. If I was a person that's unsaved, the Holy Spirit, when a soul winner or when I listen to the preaching of the Word of God or someone is giving me the plan of salvation, right? The Holy Spirit would convict me of what I need. He reproves me of sin. He reproves me of righteousness and of judgment, right? So if I think I'm saved, if I were to read the Word of God, what would the Holy Spirit tell me? You're not really saved. You know what's going to send a lot of people to hell? And I'm not trying to be mean, okay? Please, I'm not that person. But the Lord's Prayer is going to lead a lot of people to hell. The Lord's Prayer. This is what I mean. They pray a prayer, they think that prayer saved them. Prayer can't save you. Jesus is the only one that can save you. That's the truth. And if we're not careful, right? We make this thing like a tradition. We make it like a, I don't know what they call them, catechisms? I don't know. But, you know, we make it like a religion of some sort. You have to do this, this, this. Man, I don't have to do anything. I just have to believe in Jesus Christ that when I die, he saves me. That's it. I believe he did all the work that I don't need to do. I can't do anything to earn heaven. It's a gift from my Jesus because he did all the work that he needed to do for those 33 and a half years, right, here on earth. He did it. And for that 3.5 years of ministry, man never sinned. Or maybe 33 years. But those 3.5 years, he did the ministry. He did the miracles, right? He came as a prophet. Yes, praise the Lord. He came as not in the flesh, but he died on the cross. He resurrected. I'm going based off of that. And I believe and I'm depending on that when I die, he's going to save me. That's not a Lord's Prayer. You know what the Lord's Prayer is? Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. The best way I know how, I ask you to come into my heart and save me when I die. Amen. Well, that's cool. And I don't have a sincereometer here, okay? I'm just trying to explain this. What he does, his job. I'm not the Holy Spirit, so I can't do that job, right? But I will tell you this. I've had people, again, I'm not God, that when I was trying to witness to them, I had, I guess, a gift of gab, kind of, where they were trying to go, they were trying to leave, but I would keep them there. I'm like, if you die tomorrow, you want to go to hell? And then they stop. And then they come back, right? And then they goof off with their friends, and then they want to leave. And then they're like, man, we got to go somewhere. What do I have to do? And I'm like, well, do you believe? And they're like, yeah. What do I have to do? What kind of prayer? And so I would jump into it. Now, I can't say, oh, they didn't get saved. But sometimes there's going to be situations where people just pray the prayer. I want to get this over with. Guess who was like that? My wife. Who grew up in a home, a Christian home. A father was a pastor, mother, godly lady. Her and their children, I can't say the same, amen? But no, I'm kidding. You know, they were all, no, I'm joking. They were all raised in such a way to love God, to serve God with their life, that a lot of the brothers are missionaries and a lot of the sisters are married to men in the ministry. And here's the thing. My wife was in a good functional home, but yet she was unsaved. Her testimony. She got saved at a young age, and guess what she was doing, TJ? She was leading people to the Lord. She was knocking on their doors, and I'm not saying she was a great soul winner, but by my understanding, Dad would tell me, man, she could just win people to the Lord. I think Hannah was the other sister, too, that were like, the type of people that they were not afraid. They were just talk to people, right? My wife would tell you she was afraid. She was, nervous and things like that and shy. But she was leading people to the Lord until eventually one day at the age of 12 years old, she realized, I'm not saved. How does that happen? How does that happen? You think a little prayer is going to save you? Or maybe the emotion of, oh, I need to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. Here's the thing. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And listen, if you're 30, 40, I don't care how old you are, and you're having doubts, man, get it resolved today, because there's no shame in that. It happens. It happens. The point of this is for us to realize that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us. He corrects us. He reproves us. Amen. If you're still with me, say amen. He lives inside every believer. Not only he convicts people of sin, he lives inside every believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I'll try to hurry. What? Know ye not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost? So what's the temple? Your body. Yeah. And who lives in there? The Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. The Holy Ghost is where? In you. Which ye have of who? God. So that is God, the Spirit of God living in you. And ye are not your what? So if I get a craving for, I want to go back and listen to, some of the rappers or whatever growing up, and I want to see, go to the concert. They're going to be here in Tyler. Hopefully not. And I'll be praying against those demons. Amen. But anyways, I'm going to be over here in Tyler, and I'm going to go look at it or go listen to it. Can I tell you what? This body, it's not my own. Hey, follow me? What I want to do should not be the thing that I do. What I don't want to do, guess what? That's what I should do. I want us to understand, we don't own this body. Jesus paid for it. He died on the cross for it. The best thing I can do is show him some respect for saving my soul and live the best life that I can live for him. I know works are not going to save me. We understand that. But we are now working for what? Crowns. Right? It's precious stones. Okay, yay, I don't get to go to hell. But you know what you get to do now and earn? Precious stones, crowns. Why? So we can what? Have something to show for it. Jesus, this is what you did for me. I know this could never repay what you did for me. But while I lived here, I tried to please you. And I tried to do my best that I can or that I could to please you with my life. Here, this is what I have to offer. That's where, did you lead somebody to the Lord? That's where, did you encourage somebody in a conversation? That's where, hey, did you build somebody today? Because these are all Christian traits. I could never save anybody, but I could share the gospel, right? I could never change anybody's life, but I could sure give you a verse of encouragement, and I could be your encourager if you allow me to. Follow me? I could never restore something that's been hurt or damaged in your life, but I am in the ministry of reconciliation. I could be there for you. That's where that comes. You follow me? You say, Pastor, I don't want to do that. I know. I'm raising my hand. I know. But it's the joy of my life, and I have no regrets doing it. I can honestly say that. I have no regrets. That's the difference between doing this, what I don't want to do. Remember, I didn't want to be a pastor. And going to be a bum and going to concerts and going to things that I believe I need to do. That's the difference. Because all of that is vain. By the way, what is it Job said? Well, I don't want to get too, I came into this world this way and I'm going to leave out this way, right? We know what we're talking about. None of this that we've earned or we have, we can't take it with us. So what can we take? What we do for God. So God lives inside of every believer. I won't be able to finish. I have only a minute left. He lives inside every believer. He seals our salvation, Ephesians 1. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye what? So you listen, right? You have faith now in what you listen to. You receive salvation, right? Well, how do you receive it? By believing. Not by saying a prayer. Not by believing in God. Who died for you? Jesus. God the Father didn't save me. God the Father loved me so much, he sent his son to save me. Amen? So then, I believe, I heard the message, I believed, and what did I receive after believing? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's an order. You can't say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit. No, you have something else. It's not the Holy Spirit. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen, and you just got baptized or you just had some kind of weird experience, amen, you didn't drown or God saved you from a dying and you're like, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not the Holy Spirit. It might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Why? Everything has an order. See? God agrees. Everything has an order. Right? In order for you to be saved, in order for I to be saved, we have to believe. Right? That's when we receive our salvation. And then we are what? Sealed. Then we receive the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, why is that important? Because he seals our salvation and he teaches us God's word. This is why he's so important. He teaches us the word of God. He doesn't teach us man's traditions. Follow me? He doesn't teach me what the Baptist doctrine is and we got to stick with it and be sticklers. Listen, I'm a Bible believer. I believe the Bible. And so far, Baptist doctrine is the closest to that. Follow me? But if the Bible shows me, hey, there's something closer than the Baptist doctrine, I'm going to believe the Bible. Does that make sense? So if you come to church and you're like, why are you not wearing your suit and tie and stuff? Well, this is my preference. Okay? I haven't found anything about holy garments. No offense. Okay? In the Bible that tells me I need to have a suit and a tie. You follow me? Now, I get it. Priests wore certain, ephods. I understand that. I do. Okay? That's where we got to keep scripture, though. That was for the what? Huh? Old Testament. Right? It's simple. I mean, and I'm not saying pick and choose. No. The Bible, all of it is important. All of it is inspired by the Word of God. You just have to keep it in its context. I can't keep it to where, well, Pastor Rivera, your pastor believes that. Well, good for him. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. Again, I'm not trying to be awful. That's not my way of dealing with this, but I'm going to keep it real. Who have I trusted in? God, right? It says, in whom ye have also trusted after that ye have heard the word of the truth. I have trusted in Jesus, the gospel of your salvation. He's the one who saved me. In whom also after that ye believed and ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Point blank, and it's simple for me, is this. John 14:6. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? That's what I have to come back to. Who's going to teach me? The Holy Spirit. Not my wife. Well, my wife can teach me a lot of things, but I can't go based off of her. Man, imagine if I was preaching what my wife preaches to me. Man, no, I'm joking. But imagine you're getting a preacher that's just feeding off of other pastors. And there's nothing wrong if you want to learn. In the beginning, I'll be honest, I just took sermons from other pastors because I didn't really know what I was doing. And then I would have to adjust, and then I would go to the Bible. And then my father, like, he just told me straight up. Dad just said, hey, just read the Bible. And I'm like, man, I have to actually try. I didn't want to do that. I'm glad I listened, though, because I'm not going to be trapped to that. And I've seen how it's ruined a lot of lives and how it's pushed people away. That's not what we're here for. We're here to build people. We're here to edify people. And I'm going to tell you, if we do it the Bible way, that's the way you build people, because it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. My job is to encourage you to get into the Bible. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. That's why. That's why we do this. I hope one day that my children get so engrossed in the Bible, so into the Bible, that they can say, you know what? If I have a problem, I'm not just going to go to Dad. I'm going to read for myself, see what the Bible says, And then if I don't understand something or I need some help or some counsel, then I'll go to my dad. That's really my dream. That's my hope. Why? Because, praise the Lord, I'm not going to be married to their spouses. I have my own. You see what I mean? This is why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit might tell you, hey, for you, this is what you need to do. Remember, not one size fits all. It's the same with children, right, parents? With some parents, we just give them that look. Oh, my angelic princesses, amen. I just give them that look, amen. But then my demon boys, I have to put a little bit more effort, amen. And sometimes discipline is in place. They're boys. Boys will be boys. Yeah, boys are going to be boys, amen. They're going to buck up, and they're going to toughen up, and they're going to try to push. My girls are sweet, amen. They just have me wrapped around their finger. But no, it's different. I just look at one, and they say, okay, Dad, I'm sorry. I looked at my son. What? Don't put your finger on the plug. They're different. Follow me? I need to get to the Holy Spirit so he can teach me, how do I deal with this boy? It's not that I don't know or I'm ignorant what a parent should do, but what should I do for this situation here? The Holy Spirit will teach me. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. I apologize for not finishing. This is what we'll do. We'll finish next week, okay? And I hope this helps. I think we finish at, he teaches us God's word, right?